And now, here are some of the letters received at the evening news during the past week. Councillor Adrian Thompson, the independent councillor for Great Yarmouth, calls for involving local people in decision-making. After the disappointing vote by Norfolk County Council to scrap the May the 1st elections, I was pleased to see Councillor Bill Borrett stand up for his constituents and not vote. His reward was to be removed from the Cabinet. What has happened to free speech? Each parish, town and borough is unique and has its own priorities and represented through the ballot box by good councillors from all parties and local government and is looking after local people on local level. I would therefore ask that we all lobby our councillors, MPs and Angela Rayner MP to keep local government in Norfolk on a local level to deliver good services for the residents. This Labour government idea of one unitarian authority covering Norfolk and Suffolk of about 500,000 residents with no idea of cost and without a mandate from residents is simply not right. I'm not against change, but dialogue should involve all borough and district councils as well as county councils. A business plan should be in place, especially with the cost of adult social care. And most importantly, the public should support any proposal in a referendum.
Joe Aldous from Cantley feels that the revamp of Norwich Market cannot be justified. I note that Norwich City Council intend to spend £740,000 plus to give Norwich Market a fresh look. How can this be justified when desperately needed funds are being cut for important healthcare and educational services? I can understand money has to be spent to address environmental and potential health issues, but spending £480,000 on new experiences, such as piazzas and distinct zones, is beyond belief when vital services are being shut down. Our 900 years old market is renowned throughout the world as a special place in Norwich and is highly valued by most local people. I do not want to see the traditional layout thrown out to satisfy the whims of faceless bureaucrats. Look what has happened to Yarmouth. Their traditional market is now totally unrecognisable and does not have the same appeal. Upgrade if necessary, but leave the general layout as it is and spend the money where it is really needed.
Paul Burrell from Drayton writes about the misuse of language. Am I alone in bemoaning the loss of the real meaning of useful words through misuse? The most obvious example is absolutely, which has become to mean simply yes. The latest example is beloved, which the dictionary defines as referring to a person, but in recent EDP articles and letters has been used to describe, amongst other things, a record shop, a greetings card shop, and a cafe. Yours pedantically.
Glyn Linder from Frettenham comments on the eye-watering national debt. I don't know if I've missed something, but Rachel Reeves proudly announcing that the UK has secured £600 million investment from China over the next 5 years left me underwhelmed. We have recently had a statement from the Office for Budget Responsibility that interest payments on this government's eye-watering debt will be £89 billion for 2024-25 and is expected to rise considerably in the next year. These horrendous escalating debt interest payments heading for £100 billion next year make the Chinese investment, which equates to £120 million per year, seem like loose change.
And finally, Mrs. Dawn Gibson from Fakenham writes about winters of yesteryear. Now the colder weather is upon us and everybody is thinking about keeping warm, it's made me think back to my childhood winters. Winters that were, in my memory, much harsher, with deep snow, penetrating frosts and icicles hanging from the eaves. No central heating available, a coal or wood fire in the black cooking range, one that didn't perform as it should, in the living room, in fact the only room that was heated. Bedrooms with metal-framed windows. Not only was there ice on the outside of the glass, but you scraped the ice off the inside as well. Beds with blankets. If you were lucky, an eiderdown. Some had great coats thrown over for warmth. I had an earthenware ginger beer bottle filled with hot water to warm my feet on. A rag rug laid on the bedside floor over the lino for placing one's feet when rising in the morning. Bath night was interesting. Water was placed in the copper, built in the corner of the scullery, under which a fire was lit to heat. The tin bath brought in from the outdoors. And after all the family had bathed, my mother emptied the bath and returned the same to its place outside. Needless to say, the family congregated in the living room around the fire. Listening to the radio, playing cards, or homework was done at the table. No thought of sitting in your bedroom playing games, too cold. Bedrooms were for sleeping. Admittedly, we did wear more layers of clothes. Who remembers the Liberty bodices with the rubber buttons? Also vests, thick home-knitted jumpers or cardigans. Goodness, how did we survive? But we did, and we were healthy. In my mind, they were happy times, spending time together as a family. I'm sure other readers can reflect on childhoods in much the same way, but I must own up to the joy of instant hot water when you turn the tap. A simple pleasure that we now take for granted. It will soon be spring.